welcome to this week's episode of the FitCast. This is episode number 214. I'm Kevin Larrabee, and along with me is Lee Peel of LeePeel.com. Lee, how you doing this week?
I am doing great, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I am fully caffeinated. I am ready to go. I kind of have to go to the bathroom, so I'll probably sneak out after I ask that first question to you.
While I'm talking like you always do. No problem.
I will turn my microphone down so people won't even know. It will be like it never happened. So we are here for a full-blown episode this week. Full-blown case of the FitCast. No John, though. John is, as we mentioned in the Pulse this upcoming Friday, that he is touring with Ricky Martin. He is his secret client that he has finally been able to talk about. I don't know if you saw that on Facebook, but he's finally got the permission to talk about that is his secret client. But cool.
She bangs.
She does. But what we're going to do this week is we're going to go right into the mailbag. One thing I'm going to quickly bring up is that I will be interviewing Mark Young in this upcoming Friday. A week from this upcoming Friday, because it is the Perform Better Summit in Rhode Island. So I will be there on Friday and Saturday. I will not be able to attend on Sunday because I cannot get a dog sitter. So if you're there Friday or Saturday, feel free to come up, say hi, and, you know, definitely love meeting the listeners out there. And please don't be, I'm probably the least intimidating person you will ever see there. So please feel free to come up and say hi. And so I can pretty much say thank you for listening to the podcast and making this a joy to do. But like I said, Mark Young is going to be coming on the show. He's going to be the interview a week from this upcoming Friday. So send in your questions to questions@thefitcast.com. Mark just put out a really cool book on reading research. And I really recommend you go check that out. And you can, again, find his stuff on Facebook and stuff like that. So
it's great stuff.
Yeah, it turned out really well. I've finally been able to, you know, take some time and look through it. And, you know, I think his stuff accompanied with Alan Aragon's research review is a great recipe for infusing yourself with knowledge and the latest research. And Alan just had a new issue come out this past week. So hopefully you are checking that out as well. I think it's like $5 a month or $10 a month for that thing. And you really, if you're in this industry, you must subscribe to it. He pays me to say that, so I'm going to say it. Just kidding. I got to stop drinking so much coffee. Lee, I want to ask you what is up, because I forgot last week and you had a pretty interesting blog post come out this past week.
I did.
So what's up?
Well, I have decided that I'm making some slight business changes, and I've been incredibly overwhelmed with not doing well at multitasking. So I'm taking a step back. I'm taking about a 4 to 6 month sabbatical, if you will, to essentially or metaphorically write in the cabin in the woods, if you will. And I'm just going to get all the writing that I need done, knocked out. And it may seem easier said than done, but it's almost three full books that I have to write in 6 months. And it's because I'm basically rewriting everything from scratch and larger than it was before. So because of that, it's going to take a little time, and I'm still going to be attending to my my members and of course, like people and friends locally or whatnot that are on more of a personal local friendship kind of level. But as far as making any sort of large promises or business type things, it's pretty much all of that's on hold. So it's going to be a lot of writing. I'm going to release things, little bits here and there when I'm done with sections, just to give for the heck of it, just to put it out there. But metabolic repair will be done. The rewrite through Fat Loss Troubleshoot will be done. And some various other stuff along with that, with the training things and the cycle programs and all that will be done. So I'm going to be doing that for the next 6 months. And it was a tough decision to make, because I'm incredibly phobic of losing traction. Mm-hmm. But in trying to keep that traction, I was losing traction. So
take a step back to take two steps forward.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And it has to happen sometimes. So that's what I'm doing. And that's what I'm going to be doing for the next 6 months. And then After that, I will once again try to conquer the world.
Cool. I'm just going to ask, because I think this is the proper venue. Katie, if you want to come up to New England, up to the Massachusetts area, and hang out for a weekend, you know, stay at my apartment, you can make me some Elise French toast. That would be, this is the open invitation. You know how to get a hold of my email. You might even be able to see Roger while you're up here. And
for the price of one, huh?
No, not like that. But, you know, I have a very friendly dog. And, you know, I think it's a good trip. It's a nice weather up here now. You know, I get a good, like, bar and grill across the street where you can get some dinner. You know, watch, you know, baseball game or something like that. So I just want to get that out there. And, yeah, we'll see what happens. I expect to hear from you. And if I don't,
I'll make sure to pass on the message.
Pass it on, please.
I'll pass it on. I'll be good like that. I'll pass it on for
you. So yeah, that's all cool stuff. Katie, drop me a line. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to some cool music, and then we're going to be right back with the mailbag. So stick around. All right, so we're here for the mailbag. The first question is going to Lee, and this is from Richard. Fitcast, please help. I am currently trying to cut down some body fat. This isn't the first time I've done this. I have modeled for the Men's Health UK in the recent past, so I am not completely inexperienced with this kind of thing. I've always had a problem with my appetite, but it seems now seems that it's out of control. I try and fill myself up with, you know, fibrous vegetables, protein, and other clean food sources, but I still carry on eating sometimes until it's painful. I've experimented with low-carb diets, and I know that when on them, the first taste of a carb makes me go crazy. Now I am on lean gains and eating a more balanced diet, but once it gets to the evening, I am still stuffing myself. Is there anything I can do other than just increase my willpower to suppress my appetite? Do you think it's because I am training too hard? And again, that's from Richard. So I'm just going to quickly say the lean gains is intermittent fasting. I don't know, Lee, if you're going to touch on that. But very interesting, and continue. I will be right back. Don't say anything about me. I'll listen.
I was going to. Okay. I don't know if you're training too hard. You didn't tell me what you're doing with your training. So I guess the easiest way for me to go about this is to kind of talk about why a crazy appetite happens, or what things suppress or enrage appetite. So I guess I was trying to think of, when I read this question, what angle am I going to play with this? Since I can't talk to you one-on-one. So I'm going to talk about things that kind of generally suppress or enrage appetites, which sadly can be kind of similar things, and how that will relate to your training and your body comp. And maybe you can pull something of a gem out of this, that'll help you. So we'll see. So first off, one, you have to look at exactly where you are in body fat. And relevance to what it is you're trying to do. I know that you say you're trying to cut down some body fat, and you have in the past or whatnot. But especially when it comes to modeling, and I find this to be very true for models, they end up, and I wouldn't say that it's a complete dysmorphic, I was trying to think of the word. It's not a complete dysmorphic type attitude always, and sometimes it can be severely, but this, it can be mild as well. My quick point is to make sure that cutting down fat and not adding muscle isn't kind of where you need to go. Because sometimes when you hit such a lean body mass level, or when you get so low, if you don't have enough muscle, you can appear to still have a lot of fat, left, but in actuality, you really are lacking a lot of muscle, and you're not going to have that pop. You're not going to have that definition. You're not going to have any of that without having the muscle. So make sure that that's where you're at, because if you are extremely lean and there's not a lot of muscle and you're trying to just nail away at fat that really isn't there, that is going to keep you in a hunger place all the time. And the reason it does that is because it's basically your hormones are completely dropped. You have you're basically going to be in a state to where you eat, and when you eat, it feels a lot like panic to the body. And this is a very simplistic way of looking at it, but it's about, you call it set point, call it what you will. But there are hormonal changes that happen in our body because fat is, it keeps a lot of hormones and the regulation of such, that is going to change your appetite level. And, so I'm not saying that that is necessarily the case for you, but I want to throw that out there. You may need to add muscle instead of losing fat. That could be a potential possibility. Trying to decrease fat where it really is not can put you in a state of being viciously hungry all the time until you come out of it. Not eating at all kind of saves you from that, but when you're eating, it kind of ruins that a little bit. So make sure that that's not where you're at. Other than that, could you be training too hard? Sure, absolutely. Training can suppress or it can increase appetite. It is different for different people. Some people can do, you know, high intensity interval metabolic training, weightlifting, everything, beat themselves up. They're suppressing their appetite blunts, and it is not an issue for them at all. Others, it is just a kickoff surge to hunger, hunger, hunger. You know, it is literally the coining or the term of the phrase, I've worked up an appetite. And that's where it comes from. So it could be that for you, the type of training that you are doing needs to be adjusted. So if you're doing right now, say if you're doing a lot of metabolic work, if you're doing a lot of interval training work and things like that, it could be that for you, spacing things out and moving to more of an upper lower type split and doing a lot more lower paced interval cardio work. So, for example, instead of going at a 9-10 or a 90% type of interval training system where you go really hard and then you relax, you go to the point of practically, you know, breaking down, relaxing. We're talking breathing to the point of not being able to talk. 9-10 on a rate of perceived exertion scale. Those type of levels, then maybe you could try dialing it back a little bit, working on a kind of more of a 7 scale of interval rest where you're a little breathy and talk. Those are some cues that you can kind of look for to kind of judge things, because this isn't so much a time. If you're trying to do stuff for modeling and if you're trying to cut down the body fat, it may not be also the optimal time for extreme conditioning. It's something that we talk about a lot, and I talk about a lot specifically, that you could be shooting yourself in the foot by trying to achieve extreme conditioning while also trying to decrease body fat. Sometimes they don't go hand in hand, and you have to be a little bit more strategic about how you're planning your fat loss regimen. Sometimes the boring and the least interesting stuff for you to do in a training environment is just what works with your hormonal profile. And that's just the way it is. There's always a compromise, but find and really test your training and make sure that you're not doing training for training's sake or conditioning's sake or a hype sake, but that you're doing it for your needs and how you respond in a hormonal sense. If you're a guy that has lower T, you have lower testosterone, or you have issues with thyroid problems, or maybe you just get a little bit borderline, you have issues with insulin resistance or extreme hunger surges, things like that. Any of those things, it probably stands best to say, for the most part, that you are going to benefit more from a lighter paced cardio sessions and for more body part split, upper lower splits, and pacing yourself and increasing those rest times versus someone who has maybe a little higher T hormonal profile that responds really quickly from training, that doesn't really, that has great insulin sensitivity. These kind of people can mostly just, you know, go balls to the walls and really train their heart out in a deficit and not even really be affected much. So look at your situation and how you're aggravating things. As far as the diet and what you're eating, the thing that you said about low carbs, since it's in the past, I guess I shouldn't really focus on it much, but you know, the reason that you get like that when you're on a low carb diet is because you're deficient. When you end up intaking the carbohydrates, that always happens. It's what's going to happen because your body is getting an energy source that it likes, that it's kind of its number one fan energy source, and it comes back and it's like, ooh, I want this. It's a very simple way of looking at it, but that's what it is. if you're doing lean gains, and typically for the listeners, it's going to be eating within some sort of a time frame window. It's intermittent fasting. If it's particularly Martin Burkham that's doing it, then it's probably going to be somewhere between a 14 to 16 window hour fasting thing that we're looking at. If you're doing that and you're finding yourself still uncontrollably hungry, you could look at what it is that you're eating that's more for you specifically. Just because you're eating crevaceous vegetables and protein and clean sources doesn't mean that that's necessarily filling for you. And I'm going to talk about this because this is a really common misperception that I've been coming across a lot. A lot of people think that protein is just satiation king. And while protein, it can be filling, technically it's not the highest of satiation sources. And, fats and fibrous carbohydrates, even starch-based fibrous carbohydrates do wonders for making someone feel full. And depending on the type of body and digestive system you have set up, certain foods may make you feel fuller while other foods make you feel less full. Like for me, example, when I used to eat nothing but chicken breasts and broccoli, I was starving. I could eat pizza and feel fuller. And it's different for different people. It's going to be very anecdotally based. And it really has to do a lot with your genetics, the kind of food you ate when you were growing up, the things that your digestive system is used to, how your digestive system works. If you're someone that's more constipated or has IBS issues or any of those kind of things, you may find that more a lot of beans and potatoes, starch-based root vegetables in general, all that kind of stuff can make you feel a lot fuller than a lot of the kind of more curvaceous vegetables like cauliflower or broccoli or things like that. So you really have to look at, again, why are you eating what you're eating? Is it because you think that this is what you should be eating, or have you actually experimented with what it is that you've have as a selection and given it a shot to see what kind of works for you? It really is different for each person. And again, if you find yourself being with someone who is in a different kind of a hormonal profile, you might respond differently. So it could be that more fats and more fiber are going to work for you better than a lot of protein and curvaceous vegetables. So think about that. And by fiber, various fiber sources, from, you know, starch-based fibers and pectins, you know, anything from sweet potatoes to beans to yes, you know, broccolis and spinaches and peppers and all kinds of stuff like that. But really experiment with what it is that you have at your table and see what makes you feel good and what doesn't. Don't just take it from a magazine or from what someone's saying. And just because people say protein gets you full, it doesn't for me. Protein does not make me full. I don't get full from protein. I get full from fat and fiber. That's what gets me full. So just kind of look at what makes you full and how that kind of works for you. I think that there's some ideas. I tried to cover as wide span as I could. So hopefully something there helps.
Just to kind of back up what Lee said, you know, I did that whole conditioning, like busting your ass, doing sled work or intervals on the bike and stuff, you know, multiple times in the week, and it does drive up your appetite quite a bit. So, you know, just dialing that back to once a week, like I do sled work once or maybe twice a week if it's just like the off week, and that's all I do for conditioning. I don't jump on the bike very much anymore, and kind of gets the job done. So hopefully that little tidbit can help as well.
Yeah. You want me to take that question, Kevin?
Yeah, let's take it. Let's wrap this up.
Let's do it. All righty then. All righty. So, Kevin.
What the hell was that? Jim Carrey?
What up, John, Lee, and Kevlar?
John ain't here. He didn't show up. That's my nickname. You didn't know that?
I didn't.
That's a Cressy thing. I don't know how it's gotten on to the
I didn't know. I wanted to ask Kevin why he has changed his mind on heavy squats and deadlifts in the last year. Has Boyle finally gotten to you? Kidding. But I was listening to an older episode and you praised heavy squats and deadlifts, and now not so much. Thanks, and loving the new format. So, Kevin, what's up with that? Justin wants to know.
That's a good question. We kind of talked about this a little bit last week when it came to the single leg training stuff. Yes, but
that's what it was about.
You know what? Well, let's back this up a little bit. And Justin, we have been doing the show for 5 years, so I am allowed to have a little bit of a change in opinion, as we all tend to do, you know. And I think, again, I'm gonna blow a little smoke up my boss's butt, and I'm gonna say, you know, Mike put out a blog post about the evolution of a strength coach. You know, he's, you know, kind of start out as a bodybuilder, and then you go to power lifter, and then you become the functional guy, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I think he's completely right. And I've accelerated the process just because of what I've seen and what I've done and what I found that's worked. And I will say, I still trap bar deadlift my ass off. I love to go heavy, you know, doubles trap bar deadlift. That's what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm doing 5 sets of 2 tomorrow for trap bar deadlift, or I'll be working up to a heavy double. And I still think that's a great exercise. Back squats, I still think that's a great exercise if you can pull it off, do it pain-free, and do it with good form. Unfortunately, you know what? It's just too much of a pain in the ass for me to externally rotate to get my arm back there for a back squat after tearing my pec and not being as good as I probably should be about the, you know, the rehab and the soft tissue work for it. And because I'm behind a desk quite a bit these days, so that doesn't help either. So I kind of, you know, threw that out, and you know what? I'm okay with it. If I do need to do some kind of back squat, doing something like a safety squat bar, which basically allows it. It's actually what Cressy uses a lot for his baseball players, because you don't have to, you know, externally rotate like crazy and get a huge pec stretch. You can just kind of keep your arms more or less like if you put your palms like on your chest, or if you make fists and put them on your chest, that's kind of where your hands will be on the bar, because the bar goes straight in front of you. So it's a little bit easier to do that and not to put too much you know, stress in your body that doesn't really need to be there for the exercise. Let's see, what else did you say? And in terms of the deadlifts, unfortunately, my hips have never been great. Whenever I did straight bar deadlifts, I always destroyed my legs. I have permanent scars on my shins from deadlifting, and it's just something. Straight bar deadlifting is something that I've never been very good at. Like I said, trap bar deadlifting I think is fantastic, and I still think it's fantastic, and it's something that I still put into my you know, not only my athletes' programs but my clients' programs. I still think it's great. I know women love them, and that's just something that Mike and I kind of disagree with. You know, where he doesn't see the trap bar deadlift being a big part of the personal training clients' program. I still think it's great, not only for women but also for men. It's a huge confidence exercise too, when you can, you know, for a guy that might not be relatively strong and be able to trap bar deadlift 265 for reps. I mean, that's something that they can, you know, they can kind of measure themselves and say, oh, that's pretty cool. I can, you know, deadlift 1.5 times my body weight, even though we might not think that's enough. You're like, oh, damn it, you have to deadlift twice your body weight. Otherwise, you know, you're not that strong. So I think it's a good exercise for that and for lower body development. Not everyone is going to be a single leg star. And I'll say for my own programming, I haven't front squatted or back squatted for a long time. I still trap bar deadlift, but I have moved on to a lot of single leg movements. As much as I hate to do them, I love the results of the rear foot elevated split squat, and that's pretty much exclusively what I've been doing for the last 2 or 3 months, and my numbers for those lifts have gone up dramatically. Like I think we mentioned last week, it's not so much of a surprise that I've been doing them more often and making them more of a priority and putting them at the beginning of my lift. I become better at them, and my numbers have gone up. So I have changed my mind in terms of the heavy squatting. The risk to reward, you know, may not be there as much anymore. It obviously depends on the population. I'm pretty sure all of our personal training clients don't back squat. You know, I don't know if I can speak for John, but I'm pretty sure he's going to be there with me too. You know, again, the benefit's really not there for, you know, whether it's going to be the spinal loading, the form that's going to fall apart. If you're not there with their client when they're training, there's so many things that can come into play where, you know, single leg exercises tend to be a little bit easier to classify as either good or bad. I mean, you can take a look at someone doing a single legged squat and say that looks good or that looks bad. Same thing with the single legged deadlift and all the lunge variations and stuff like that. So, you know, I will say, you know, I was very heavily influenced by my time at, you know, Cressy's during my internship, and I left there like wanting to just lift my ass off and put as much weight on the bar as possible. And I still think that totally works. It clearly works. If I don't know if you've seen some of Eric's athletes, but guys like Tim Collins is a prime example of that. He's now pitching for the Royals, and he's doing great. And Eric's helped him become incredibly strong, and that's why he, you know, has been able to excel so much when it comes to the pros right now. And again, it's different. You know, different strokes for different folks, but they both work incredibly well. And that's just something that I've done in my training. That's something that I've kind of gone, you know, said that Mike has definitely got to me on it. He's convinced me every time that I see him present. He convinces me even more from whether it be research based or anecdotal from what he's done with the guys at BU or what we're doing in Woburn. So, Justin, I hope that answers it for you. And dude, if you can still back squat until you can't back squat anymore. But don't back squat if you're hurting. Like if you have hip problems or low back problems or shoulder problems, whatever it may be, don't do it anymore just to do it, unless you are competing at some level. Otherwise, just the single-legged lifts are pretty awesome, and you get a lot of bang for your buck. Or like we mentioned before, put in some sled work. Sled work is awesome, also great for lower body development. Load up that sled. It's a lot of fun. I don't know. Lee, what do you do any kind of like bilateral lifts anymore in terms of the lower body stuff?
I could, you know, one of the first exercises I ever hurt myself on was a back squat. Mm-hmm. And of course that's getting anecdotal, and let's make it clear and just to throw it out there. And I'm sure that you could say this, if you were given a client and they told you, I have to back squat, it is something I have to do. Do you not feel in full confidence that you could rehab or get that client to a point that they could back squat heavy and do everything that they needed to do?
Sure. And there are no cases problem, like right? that. Yeah. Well, yeah. There are kids. I mean, there's some kids that go into college
as well.
And have to do it.
Mine as well. And a lot of people say, well, if you're not a good coach or if you can't do what you know, a bad coach can't get someone to back squat, that's the problem. And it's like, no, that's not the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is necessity of the movement. It's all about necessity of the movement. And sure, It's great to get really posturous and faux laddie about exercises and boys clubs about it in a sense, because it can be very much like that, almost in a bullying nature. It's odd. It's a very weird mentality.
It's also,
but
the forum dudes, you know. It's
yeah,
like the,
no,
you know.
I mean, but it is. But let's be honest, a lot of people that listen to this show are on the forums, and a lot of people have these kind of conversations.
Sure.
And I want to throw it out there and say that I have no problem with squats. I agree with you 100%. I do think that back squats, I think there's a risk to reward ratio to take into account. I feel the same way about things like dips and think, you know, there are mm-hmm. certain people that benefit greatly from dips, but oh my, I would say 99% of the people I work with should not be doing them, you know, not right off the bat. It's just, they don't have the shoulders for it. They don't recruit in the right areas. It's just one of those kind of, there are exercises that just bang for your buck a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's more of what Mike and you and all of us have found when we work with people in any population, be it athlete or obese. We find that to be the case. And I don't think that it's jumping on any bag. I still do straight bar deadlifts. They work for me. I've just always been really, really good at them. I like trap bar deadlifts too. You know, luckily the facility I work at has a trap bar. And I like trap bar deadlifts, but for some reason it just clicks. And it works for me a little bit better to do just regular straight bar deadlifts and it locks out well. But you know, that I don't touch squats. The only squats I do are goblet or single leg you know, split squats. Those are the only ones that I do. and they work me just fine. Or I'll do pistols, you know, and I'll do, you know, single leg, just full body pistol squats. And that kind of stuff is the stuff that I like to do. So for me, I mean, I'm on the same boat, and I think that it's just about the reward versus risk balance and getting, you know, that unilateral work. And I don't think that there's any wrong with it, but I also don't think that we're being, either of us are being, say, oh, well, heavy squats, back squats, they're going to blow out your knees. You shouldn't be doing them. No. They're horrible. Like, we're not saying that. And I think it can be misconstrued, but I'm just want to, I guess, you know, make that clear. I'm not saying that, and Kevin's not saying it. And we could get a client to do that and take the time to go through all the motions and work on their hip mobility, work on their ankle mobility, check their form, watch them, and get them higher than they ever need to be. But is that the need for every client? No. It's just not. So yeah,
you can get people to look better naked a lot easier with a single
exactly.
leg lifts and,
you know, exactly.
back squat. I mean, again, we, you know, like I mentioned, if you're competing or you want to be a power lifter, that's
it's one a whole thing. Different story. Yep. Yeah. Totally.
But let's be honest. You know, you don't want to have to be that never dude kind of person out there. That's right. I watch a little bit of that show. Poor never nudes. All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to wrap it up this week. You can stick around for the off topic where we talk about some messed up stuff. So please don't listen to it with the kids around.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious.
Yeah, really. It's really Ken friendly off topic.
And listen to The Pulse later this week where Lisa's boner. So have a great week. We'll see you next time.
I hope that for my sake it's not in there. You just said it for no.
That's what she said. Come on. Oh God, what a business.
I have no idea. It's crazy.
This week's episode of the FitCast featured music by Anna Meneguchi and MHV. You can check them out at freemusicarchive.org. All right, we're here for the off-topic for the episode that we're going to be recording. 314, 214, right?
I don't know.
Let me
you
open
know these
up
things.
The, open up the outline. Episode 214, I'm going to quickly mention that I breezed through a bunch of Friday Night Lights season, whatever the latest season is on demand today. And that show is just amazing. It's really good.
Did they cancel that? Is it over?
This was the last year.
Okay.
But what happened was DirecTV actually paid, I think, for half of the production cost. So it aired on DirecTV first, and now it's on NBC. But man, Kyle Chandler, who also of the early edition, is amazing. And oh my God, we talked about the early edition last week, right? Because we're not going to bring up Fisher Stevens again because he was on that show.
I don't remember anything about this.
This is the Fisher Stevens fan podcast. What's he up to this week?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We talked about hackers last week.
We did talk about hackers,
and,
yes.
And Fisher Stevens because
okay.
he played the
plague. Yeah, so we did. Yes, the plague. Yes, we talked about the plague.
He was
is he on Friday Night Lights or something?
No,
well,
but he was
wondering why you brought him up.
Because he was on Early Edition with Kyle Chandler, who is the
what
star.
What the hell is Early Edition? That's what I'm asking.
Oh my God, you haven't seen Early Edition?
No.
Went on 4 seasons on CBS, I believe, and ran from 96 to 2000.
Oh, wait. Was that the show with the guy who got the newspaper?
He got the newspaper.
Like, okay, yeah.
It was basically like the new...
I only saw that a few times, but it was awesome. I should have like devoted more time to that.
Such a charming guy. and Kyle, now that Friday Night Lights has ended, he's blown up. Like, he's in Super 8. That's coming out in a couple weeks. And he was in The Day That the Earth Stood Still with Keanu a couple years ago. So... We talked about how Bill and Ted 3 is in production.
You threw
right?
it in at
okay,
the end.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
I mean, I hope the others heard it. And
can't wait.
No, very, very good stuff. Yeah.
What number am I thinking of? 69, 14. Dude. No, 69. get it? Because they
asked. Actually asking me, Kevin. And I was like, oh, wow, is the off topic getting so bad that you're just asking me to start guessing random numbers?
No, but I feel like that needs to come out on Blu-ray sooner rather than later. Oh, my God, John's on. Oh, no, it's just two Lee Peels.
That's how good I am.
There's two Lee Peels on the outline right now. We talked to finish the arcade machine.
Yeah, you did. But we talked about that offline. We didn't talk about it online.
No, we don't really have to talk about it that much.
I think it's cool that you did that.
Yeah, it was a good little weekend project. And well, it's nice. I have an arcade machine that's basically a Nintendo. And I have an arcade machine that's basically a Dreamcast.
Amazing.
Yeah, so you can play some Tecmo Bowl and some... And you can also play some Marvel vs. Capcom too.
How you even get out of your apartment? I don't even know.
But the thing is, like, I get, like, you know, we talked about this before. I get really into it. Like, I was very focused on the arcade machine. Now that it's done, it's like, you know, it's there.
Over it.
No, I'm kind of over it, and I'm like, damn it, I gotta find a use for the. I did the count. I think like 60 something games away from having a complete Dreamcast collection, like for the US release.
Wow, are you serious?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Are there any significant games that you can think of that you're missing?
Yeah, there's some. I mean, the problem is there's like a good 20 games that go for about $50. Ooh. And, you know, I don't really, there's some games that are like $50 that I would never play. Like they're just like stupid games, and like shoot 'em ups, like where you're in like a plane and it's just like bullet hell where there's 8 million things coming at you at once. Like that, I don't find that very fun. But it's, I think I talked about, I'm playing through Shenmue 2 right now, which cost me $60. That's not a cheap game, but, I'm in China.
That's all that matters.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to China?
Lee, I have not been outside of the United States. I've only been to about 6 states in my life.
That has got to change.
I don't go
anywhere. I haven't been overseas. I've been in a lot of states, but I haven't been overseas. But that's got to change. I'm surprised you haven't been to Tokyo at least.
Oh, I haven't, Lee, and it's bad. Like it's I try to live through entertainment means to go to these places. I watch Tokyo Drift, and I dream of a day where I can go to a vending machine and get a lobster dinner.
They have the craziest vending machines. It's insane.
It's nuts.
What they will put in a vending machine. It's nuts.
You can get loaves of bread out of a can. They have canned bread in a vending machine. Like, how unique is that? Like, it's like you literally go there and it's a different world.
It's what I hear. I mean, everyone that I know that has went is just like, it is insane the way that the technology is there, the things that, how everything is jammed in, because it literally just has to be because mm-hmm. it is so packed with people. It's just so...
A fantastic transportation system. It's something that, you know, more of our cities should probably adopt. In terms of like cleaner energy, when it comes to their subway and their like monorail systems, you know, you've probably seen videos where they like literally have people that work at those subways that pack those things.
Oh yeah, no, they push them in. Yeah. I mean, they push them in like a sardine can. It's like,
shit. Have you seen Fast Five yet?
No, I didn't see it. I went to go see it, and then plans changed. And
what? There was like
personal.
A terrorist attack on the movie theater? What stopped you?
You know what? It's personal. Right. Regardless, I went to go see it. I didn't end up getting into the theater. I'll just say that. And
you sneak it,
not in a sex in the parking lot kind of way.
Who said that?
But I'm just saying. So I haven't got to see it yet. And now it's Memorial Day weekend. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to go see a movie during Memorial Day weekend.
It'll be out on Blu-ray by like October. Well,
I'm going to try and see it this week. I really want to see it this week, but I haven't seen it.
John saw it.
I know. I really fail at life when John, especially considering his circumstances, he gets to see a movie before I do. But do you have Tokyo Extreme Racer 2 on Dreamcast?
I have Tokyo Extreme Racer 1 and 2 on Dreamcast. Lee Peel. Have them both.
I'm not surprised.
I mean, that, oh, those are good games. Those are really...
I was just curious.
The lights.
One I knew of that was like a Dreamcast Tokyo game.
Well, I think we talked about this last week in our exclusive Dreamcast episode, but... dude, Jet Set Radio Future, like, I love playing through that game just because of, you know, it is, it's not, obviously, it is very stylized, but, and cel-shaded, but it's like the neon lights. It's the, I don't know, it's the, it is very cool. Man, I really want to go to Japan. I'm almost worried to go there because I would need to have a situation where I would have a guide or something like that. I don't speak Japanese, and I don't know my way around Tokyo or any of the local areas, but it would need to be a situation where I could spend about $5,000 and, you know, come back with two suitcases full of video games and stuff, and maybe a vending machine.
Of some sort that produces something.
God, I
crazy.
Like, there's nothing they don't sell in vending machines. Like, you can literally buy...
you can buy everything from, like, radios to...
They have sex toys in vending machines, Lee.
Do they really?
They have sex toys in vending machines.
Oh,
I'm sorry, but I was... actually shot a video for that arcade machine that I put up on one of those arcade forums. And one of the things that I was looking at is some of the Dreamcast games that I have. And with the... you know, some of the Japanese stuff, like... You know, if you're from Japan, that's awesome. Like, I think Japan's awesome, but there's some effed up stuff there. You know, when it comes to sexuality and when it comes to women, it is really, really different than what we experience here in America. God, just look at, like, if you look on Netflix streaming now, there's like anime porno on Netflix streaming now.
Oh, it's just, yeah. Like, I have a friend who's he shall remain nameless. I probably shouldn't be saying this, but I know of a boy who has spent a lot of time enjoying himself with anime porn.
But what's the appeal? You know?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Jessica Rabbit's kind of a looker, but I don't appreciate it above cartoon form. I don't know. I don't get it. It's so weird.
It is honestly the weirdest things about one of the weirdest things of
but they
humans.
Are crazy with their sexuality over there and their TV shows and their game shows. I don't know if you've ever watched some of them or seen.
You mean like the Saturday Night Live one where they like cut off people's fingers?
Oh, I was talking in a sexual manner in some of the things that they do.
Oh.
Like things that challenges that involve a woman's vaginal strength kind of stuff.
Oh my God.
You know, it's just, it's really, it's out there. It is definitely out there.
Well, I don't, you know, we won't stay on this topic too long. hope you don't have the kids in the car listening. But there was a skit on Saturday Night Live where Alec Baldwin was the host of a game show, and it was him.
I remember that.
Chris Farley. It was one of the episodes with Janine Garofalo was on it, and then also I think Mike Myers, and basically it was like an American game show, and he didn't understand any of the answers. And what would happen is if you got one of the questions wrong, you had to like cut yourself or cut one of your fingers off.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember.
And man, that was just some good stuff. And I think it was it was those four. So check out that like early 90s stuff if you want to find that. But yeah, so
you can't segue from that.
No, I'm trying to. I haven't watched much TV or anything in the last like week and a half. So I try to catch up over the weekend, and I still haven't finished Chuck this year. Which it's just like, you know, when you get busy, you just have to wait until this stuff is.
Yeah,
I haven't just watched it.
I watched the West Wing stuff, and I've been watching the Ultimate Fighter show. I've been watching.
What's that?
It's the reality show of the Ultimate Fighter. So they each. You know, each episode, you know, someone or even sometimes two, they fight. And then the person goes on and moves to the next round. And then they have like the final fight and the actual UFC. So it'll be UFC 131 that this will end on. And I've been watching that, which I know you don't watch that, but I've been watching that.
No, I don't like UFC, and all the people out there hate it that I don't like UFC.
I, you know what I did see? I saw some of the WWE Superstar. Or something.
Oh, Tough Enough?
Like yeah, Tough Enough. Yeah. That's what it was. I saw some of that.
Stone Cold.
The Rock. Some other people.
He finished a match after crapping his pants.
Stone Cold did?
Yeah. He got body slammed, and then he literally crapped his pants, and then he still finished the fight.
Is there video of that?
I don't know, because it was on Tough Enough where he said that. He's like, I literally, like, shit my pants and then still finish the fight. Yeah.
Wow. That's dedication.
Dude, there's...
Dedication to the show. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, Randy Macho Man Savage dead. I think we mentioned that last week, but it's a bummer.
Yeah, so I don't know if it was mentioned. I don't think it was, but I saw that. Very sad. Very sad.
You think it was in a box related or... The heart attack. I mean, if you look at, I think there was that big stat that came out that 20% of all the wrestlers from WrestleMania in 1991 are dead.
Yeah. I mean, well, just there's so many that use such extreme amounts of anabolics and
painkillers.
Drugs in general. Yeah. And I would say it's a generalization, but it's kind of a generalization, of course, but it is a very heavy drug, alcohol, steroid type sport. Or back in the day, it certainly was. I think that it's supposed to be a lot cleaner now. I don't know, though. Mm-hmm. Well, from a visual standpoint, I'd have to say I'm not so sure about that. But other than that, I'm not sure. But yeah, very sad. Very sad. I mean, I don't watch wrestling. It's not something I watch. But I definitely can appreciate the athleticism and the skill it involves to do the things that they do. To say that they're not athletic is just insane.
Yeah.
I hear people say that, I'm like, oh, you're crazy. They do flips off of bouncing ropes onto a completely hard mat. That
like
thing
720 is- flips.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. It's not... come on, really? They're not athletic? Give me a break. You're just crazy. So, I mean, it's amazing skill. It's amazing. It's amazing talent that they have. It's just, it's not my thing.
It's like figure skating. It's scripted, but it takes incredible athleticism to pull off what they do.
No, it really is. I mean, it's impressive. So I have nothing but respect for it. It's just not something I really watch, but it's impressive what they do. I wouldn't complain if I could pull off the stuff they could do. I wouldn't complain at all.
Yeah. And, It's just gone downhill over the last couple of years, ever since their bigger superstars have left. Although there have been some guys like Morrison, he's one of those high flyer guys. And I mean, these guys put their bodies literally on the line. It takes balls, and I don't think I could ever do that. So
I saw a John Cena movie.
Oh, which one?
A month ago or something. I don't know.
12 rounds?
Mike got kidnapped or something.
I think that's either 12 rounds. No, it is. Yeah, it is 12 rounds.
I don't know. He was at a gas station. There was like robbers. His wife got kidnapped.
Wasn't that movie awesome?
It was cold. It was so good. Actually, I got it on a double pack. It was like Commando and this movie. It was Commando and this movie with John Cena, which I love Commando. I mean, it's like the best Arnold Schwarzenegger movie probably ever. But I love Commando, so I was like, oh, why not? So I watched the John Cena movie, and I was just like, oh my God, this movie is ridiculous.
He has potential to be a really, I think he's very entertaining. And that was actually directed by John McTiernan from Die Hard.
Of course you would know that.
I know so much dumb stuff, Lee. I'm such a worthless mind. You know, I just have a repository of terrible knowledge. It's just sad. I'm a waste, but what can we say? We're going to do a podcast now, so hopefully it doesn't suck. Okay.